Well, let us turn now to your scripture reading for this morning. You'll find it in the Gospel according to Luke and the 15th chapter. This morning we're going to focus our thoughts on the parable of the lost sheep. But we can read Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10 just now. And let us hear God's own holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, that is, Jesus, to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Amen. May God bless that reading of his word. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, if you open your Bibles once again to the passage we read earlier, we'll read again the short parable we want to focus our attention on this morning, parable of the lost sheep, and we'll pick up our reading at verse 3 of Luke chapter 15. The Lord Jesus says he spoke this parable to them, that is, the Pharisees and the scribes, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper once again this morning, I want to look with you at this, the first of three linked parables which our Lord Jesus told here in Luke chapter 15, what is referred to as the parable of the lost sheep. If you see this parable, it's really a retelling of your story and mine, child of God. For remember, it's a parable, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And this parable then, it tells the story of our salvation, the very thing that we are met together today to celebrate. For you see, it tells us of the fact that once we were lost, but now we are found. Once we were strangers to grace and to God, but God in his infinite love and mercy, he sent his only Son into this world in order to save us from our lostness, to call us back to himself. Well, friends, that's the glorious truth that lies at the very heart of this parable, which we want to look at briefly then this morning. And I trust, child of God, that as we do so, your heart will go out in love to God and to your Savior, Jesus Christ, for what they have done in saving you, and that you will be suitably prepared to joyfully keep in remembrance the death of the Lord Jesus on your behalf. And so I want to look with you then at three things that we see here in this short parable, which beautifully illustrate for us the story of our own salvation. Firstly, the sheep straying from the shepherd. Secondly, the shepherd searching for the sheep. And then lastly, the satisfaction of the shepherd and the sheep. Well, firstly then, let us consider the sheep straying from the shepherd. Now, as we've already said, this story which Jesus tells here in verses 4 to 7 of Luke chapter 15, it is a parable. And so it's designed to teach us a very important and necessary spiritual lesson. It's a lesson that the scribes and the Pharisees and the tax collectors and sinners who were gathered around Jesus needed to hear and learn. It's the lesson that you and I and every human being desperately needs to hear and learn. That the Lord Jesus, he didn't come to this earth, as he said earlier in Luke chapter 5, to call righteous people to himself, but to call sinners to himself. Because you see, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus, he was being criticized here by the scribes and the Pharisees because they complained that this man, he receives sinners and eats with them. And they were utterly appalled by this because as far as they were concerned, they were righteous in their own eyes. They didn't see themselves as sinners in need of saving. But Jesus, rather than being upset or offended at their complaint, he simply saw this as another opportunity to tell them and us about the very reason for his coming into this world. For you see, Jesus knew full well that all men, as Isaiah says, they are just like sheep that have gone astray. For by nature, all of us have turned, every one of us, to our own way. Every one of us have turned our back on God by nature, and we have gone astray from him. And so whatever we might think about ourselves, whatever others might even think about us, we are all in the same place, spiritually speaking, by nature. For we're just like the sheep described by Isaiah, and the sheep that is spoken about here by Jesus in this parable, which had strayed from the safety and the security of the shepherd, which had gotten itself lost as a result. And apart from God's grace then, just like this sheep, we find ourselves by nature in a dangerous and precarious situation, headed for ruin and destruction. For you see, whenever a sheep strays from its shepherd, gets itself lost, it becomes too disoriented to find its way back home. And not only that, but as soon as the sheep strays, it's utterly defenseless against almost any danger. And so sooner and later, unless it is rescued, a lost sheep, it will end up falling from a precipice, or it will die of starvation, or it will get torn apart by a wild beast. Because you see, sheep, they don't adapt to the wild. And when they wander then, they can only wait to be rescued. And friends, is that not an accurate picture of our own spiritual state and condition as we come into this world? Is that not the place where God finds every one of us by nature? And is that not the place, child of God, where God found you when he came to rescue you from your sin, to call you back to himself? You were out in the wilderness, wandering in a wasteland of your own making, and you were alienated from the life of God because of your sins. Because you see, it is our sins that separate us from God. And apart from Christ, then, we could never find our way back to God on our own, any more than a lost sheep can find its way back to its shepherd of its own accord. But you see, that is what Jesus is seeking to teach us here in the first place in this parable about the lost sheep, that all men are sinners who are in a lost and ruined condition until and unless God does find them. Makes me think, boys and girls, of the man in the 1800s. You read of he lost his way in a mining region on a very dark and misty evening. And because of where he was, he knew that the next step he took, it might cause him to fall down into one of those mining shafts and it would be the end of him. And so knowing his danger, he decided to cry out for help in the hope that someone would hear him and come to his rescue. And so he began to call out in the darkness, "Lost! Lost! Lost!" And one of the miners who lived in a nearby cottage, he heard the sound of that man calling out, and so he lit his lantern. He hurried out into the dark night to answer that voice. And guided by the cry of that man, he hastened out over the moor. And as he was making his way toward the man saw in the distance the glimmer of his lantern. And as it came nearer and nearer and until its rays, they flashed through the surrounding mist and the darkness. He found that he was standing upon the very verge of death. For you see, he was right at the edge of a mining shaft. And if he took another step, he would have been carried down that shaft to his death. And if it hadn't been for that miner then, he would have plunged to his death and lost his life. But you see, that miner heard his cries for help, and sensing his distress, he set out to help him and rescue him. Well, friends, that is the second glorious truth that Jesus goes on in this parable to teach us, that God has done something about the predicament we find ourselves in by nature. For as the prophet Hosea says in verse 9 of Hosea chapter 13, we have destroyed ourselves because we have lost our way in life by our sins, and we are in very real danger of losing our way eternally unless God in his mercy will come to our aid and deliver us. But you see, that is exactly what God has done. For as Hosea goes on to say, our help, it is from God. And God has taken the initiative in his love and in his grace then to help us by sending his Son into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And it's that saving initiative that Jesus is bearing witness to so wonderfully in this parable. And that's what we want to look at that in the second place then. The shepherd searching for the sheep. If you see, just like the shepherd in the story here, God goes after his wandering sheep. For when we were lost, when we had wandered far out on the hills of disobedience, when we were weak and defenseless against our enemies, and utterly unable to save ourselves from our misery and ruin, it was just then that the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep, he came at God's appointed time to rescue us. For as Paul reminds us in verses 6 and 8 of Romans chapter 5, it was when we were still without strength that God sent his Son to die for us. For God now demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that, friends, is what we are called to celebrate once again today. The glorious fact that God didn't pass us by, leave us to perish in our sins as he might have done. But because of the love and the compassion that he has for us, he gave his only begotten Son to come into this world and to do all that was necessary to bring us back to himself. And that's what we see depicted here in this parable. If you see the shepherd here, he stops at nothing to find the lost sheep and return it to the sheepfold. For we're told here he leaves the other 99 sheep, to go after the one which is lost. And he does not rest until he finds it and brings it back home. And that shepherd then, he was willing to place his own life in jeopardy, to expose himself to all of the dangers of the wilderness and the elements, to secure the safety of that one lost sheep. Remember, the same lions or wolves that were possibly stalking that sheep, they might stalk that shepherd as well. But you see, he set all of that aside because of the value of that one sheep to himself. And so he set out, determined to search for it until at last he did find it. Oh, friends, so it was with the Lord Jesus. He was prepared to stop at nothing to find the lost sheep of God's flock and return them to his sheepfold, all those that the Father had given to him. You see, he didn't cling to the glory and the beauty and the comfort of heaven as he could have done, but he was willing to come down from the heights of heaven to lay aside his rights as the eternal Son of God so that he might become the suffering servant of God. The one who was called of God to go all the way to the cross and to the grave in order to redeem his people and bring them back to God and a place in his family. For you see, as the good shepherd, he was willing to lay down his life as a ransom for his sheep so that they might become the sons and daughters of God. For remember, the Lord Jesus, he came to do the will of his Father. And it was the will of his Father who had sent him, as he says in John chapter 6, that all that the Father had given him, that he would lose nothing, but he would raise them up at the last day. Well, child of God, hear, that is the length which your God and your Savior was willing to go to secure your place in the family of God, to deliver you from the ruin of your sin. And we ought to marvel at these things today, for we're called to stand in awe of God, that he would show such love and grace to us, that he would go to such lengths to save the likes of you or I. You see, these things, they're meant to reveal to us the amazing love that is in the heart of God for us. You see, with this picture, God is saying to us so clearly that we are prized by him, that we are precious to him. You see, just as we search for something that we place a high value upon, and we search until we find it, so God did what it took to seek and to find us because of how much we mean to him. Because you see, friend, in Christ, he has loved us with an everlasting love, as Jeremiah says. And he set his love upon you, child of God, then before the foundation of the world. And you were in the heart of God from all eternity. And that's why the Lord Jesus tells us here, there was such joy in heaven when you were brought into the family of God in time. For just as the shepherd in this parable, he rejoiced when he found a sheep that was lost, and he called his friends and neighbors to rejoice with him. So Jesus says there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and is brought back to God. And that brings us then in the last place to consider briefly the satisfaction of the shepherd and the sheep. For that's what we need to take to heart in the last place when we consider this parable. The astounding fact that the heart of God, it is satisfied in the salvation of a sinner. For you see, God himself rejoices over sinners who are saved. He rejoices over them with gladness and with singing, as the prophet Zephaniah says. For my dear friend, God is infinitely satisfied in seeing those who were like sheep going astray. Now return to the shepherd, an overseer of their souls, as Peter says. Because it was the eternal purpose of God to gather a people to himself in Christ and through Christ, from out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, so that there might be one flock and one shepherd, one family of God in whom he will delight for all eternity, and in whom they will delight for all eternity. For all those who have been redeemed to God by Jesus Christ, they will lift up a song of praise and worship to him throughout the endless ages of eternity for what he has done for them. And God will delight in receiving that worship and that praise. And friends, Christ will delight in seeing the labor of his soul, which was made an offering for sin, and he will be eternally satisfied. For you see, as Isaiah says, God made his soul an offering for sin, so that he would see his seed, and the pleasure of the Lord would prosper in his hand. And the Lord Jesus knew then that through his atoning work, he would be the firstborn among many brethren, for he would see his seed, all of his spiritual children, the spiritual children of God, all of the children of promise that the Father had given to him in eternity past. He would see them being saved and brought back to the fold of God. For the pleasure of God, it would prosper in his hand. The pleasure of seeing many sons and daughters brought to glory by the finished work of the captain of their salvation. And friends, make no mistake about it then. God rejoices in the restoration of each one of his sheep. And it brings satisfaction to his heart to see them coming to him in faith and repentance. But not only that, the lost sheep, they too are satisfied in their salvation. For because of the work of the good shepherd in restoring their souls, bringing them back to God, they now know that their place in the family of God, it is eternally secure. You see, just as the shepherd in this parable, he was able to lift the sheep, he was able to bear it upon his shoulders and bring it all the way back to the fold. So the Lord Jesus is now carrying each of his people upon his shoulders. And my friends, he has the stamina and the strength to see to it that what he is starting, he also will finish. You see, the Lord Jesus, he didn't set out in his mission to seek and to save that which was lost, only to fail in the end. No. He went after his sheep for the express purpose of bringing them all the way safely home. And child of God, what a tremendous comfort, what a source of endless satisfaction that should be to you and I. For our strength, it will wane along the way. We will feel him many times, but his strength, it will never waver or fail us. And so we can rest assured then that we will be kept by his power. For as Jesus said concerning each of his sheep in verse 28 of John chapter 10. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Well, child of God, you are to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning then with these awesome truths riveted upon your heart and your mind, and you are to express your satisfaction in what God has done for you in Christ by rejoicing in your God and the love of your good shepherd toward you. You see, that's what he wants you to recall as you eat the bread and as you drink the wine this morning. The wonderful truth that the hymn writer has captured so well when he said that from heaven he came to seek you to be his holy bride. And with his own blood he bought you. And for your life he died. For the Son of Man he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Well, let us pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we thank you for all that you are in yourself. You are love itself, and that love has overflown the bounds of the Trinity. It has flown down into this world that is broken and sinful, and it has reached us in your tender love and mercy. For you gave your Son to be the Savior of sinners. You opened your heart to us, and you looked upon us in mercy and in pity. And we do rejoice that you are such a God, and we pray, Lord, that we would behold and stand in awe of you, that we would be awed in our hearts at the wonder of your redeeming love. And we do pray that your people would be enabled to leave this place this morning with rejoicing in their hearts, that they would be stirred up within their hearts to go out into the world, to live for Christ, to give their lives for him who so freely gave his all for them. And we pray, Lord, that we would see that we are now called to live with all of our hearts for you, to do all that we do as unto you, the Lord. We do ask, strengthen your people, encourage them in their walk with you, strengthen their faith, that they might be enabled to go forward in life, looking to you, resting upon you, leaning upon you for all that they need, that they would see that just as you did give your Son for them, so with him you will also freely give them all the things that they stand in need of from day to day to face life, to go forth victorious and to go forth conquering and to conquer until at last they will take their place in their heavenly home above, where the Lord Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And we pray, Lord, bless your word, bless this sacrament. Be with us as we go on with the rest of this day. Keep us in your fear. Be with us in all that we do. Keep our hearts and minds stayed upon you, we ask. And hear us now, we pray. For we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.